going to use some of this as a preamble before we started, but it's not shit, so I'm not going to. Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in tech, all the big stories that have gone on, everything that's happened, all the nice stuff, all the bad stuff, all the things you wish you hadn't done. That'd be Righty's story that we're covering there. And all the things you wish you had done. Starting us off, top left, thank you for making a very late substitution. You are the David Fairclough of BTN tonight, Dr. Richard Harkness. You're not old enough for David Fairclough, are you?
You what?
You're not old enough for David Fairclough.
I recognise the footballer.
Liverpool, super sub. The original super sub.
I thought he was Elsa Tanner's husband.
He was what?
And he was Tanner's husband.
Oh, shut up.
And he was a footballer. That's as good as I get.
He was super sub, yeah. He was played for Liverpool. Who's David Fairclough, says Batwinch. There we go. How you been, mate?
I'm good.
We had a creative day this week, didn't we?
Yeah, it was good. I learnt loads.
Good, but you learnt that it's not possible to automate button presses in iOS apps.
I haven't found out from anyone yet, anyway.
Oh, I have. I've spoken to the god. I've spoken to Don McAllister, mate. So if anyone knows how to do it, it's Don McAllister. And guess what he said?
You can't do it.
You got to put them in manually, exactly the way I did them.
Oh, well, there you go. So. At least I know how to do it.
At least your iOS reviews in future are going to be short.
Yeah. What if I can't do it with more than three taps, it's out.
Yeah, no, that's a crap app. Good to have you on, mate. Thank you. Next to him, it's Jeffrey. How you doing? With a much more contented cat who's not looking for you and crying.
Yes, and Nightshade seems really happy now because she's sitting on my lap, and there you go. So she's happy, which means I'm happy, so things are good.
Now, the sunlight's streaming through there. Am I guessing that there's snow on the ground outside?
Oh, yes, and we got about 6 inches of snow, and now we're all excited because after a couple days where the temperature didn't get above like 11 Fahrenheit, we're at 33 right now. So it's a heat wave.
Yeah, absolutely. Just the freezing then. Well done, mate. Glad you're here. And last but by no means least, it's the Righty boy.
Hello, mate. How you doing?
Who I've got to say, sounds like he's had some caffeine.
What? No, not at all.
You've been really peppy, mate. It's been nice.
I have been.
It's been nice.
Yeah, no, I've swapped food for caffeine. Yes, I have. I work for a university that has 17 coffee shops, and you have many meetings. And yes, too much. I don't do too well on that. But
now you're doing a road trip with Hot Boss, aren't you?
Hopefully, yeah. I'll be coming up your way, they say.
But when is that?
It's March, mate. It's March.
Right. So you need to make sure that because you're not going to be here on a Friday night, are you?
Well, as we were talking the other night, I'm going to hopefully come see you soon because I've been promising for since the batch that I didn't come to this year that I'm going to come and see you and we'll spend some time together. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
We'll definitely do that as a separate thing. But if you come with Hot Boss, we're going to have to make sure that we've got the shows that week on the night that you and Hot Boss are here, and she can find out that we call her Hot Boss.
And I can work out my redundancy package, can't I?
Yeah, you can draft your resignation letter while she's talking to us.
I'll probably draft it on the train on the way up.
Never mind, mate.
But you're looking for an apprentice.
The weird thing is, the whole, there's 13 people in my team, and they all watch the show, and everyone else knows I call her Hot Boss.
Oh,
and she's the only one who doesn't know.
Yet.
She probably knows.
She's agreed to come to BTN, hasn't she?
She's under orders.
Right, great. We'll have a curry. We'll have loads of fun. And last but by no means least, it's Muller. How you doing, bud?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good mic technique, mate. Well done.
Okay.
Hey!
Yes, well done indeed.
I want a stand.
Okay, well, there's one in the cupboard there.
We haven't got enough toilet rolls.
No, the toilet rolls is doing the camera, so that's the thing. The Week in Tech, who's got the first story? Who's going to throw it in the chat room? Righty's already down for a control V and wins. There we go. Oh, hang on. You can't. No, this is like Jeffrey referencing his own blog posts.
Well, as a social manager of the British Tech Network, I can. We are a major news source in this world, so we can say what we like.
So, hang on, just in your title, the title that Wrighty's got here is: do we really get a good deal, a good mobile deal in the UK? With one person from America on the show, we get the answers yes straight away.
Yeah, the answer is yes. Whatever it is, you get.
I don't care what anyone's done to you, Wrighty. It's not as bad as what AT&T is doing to Jeffrey right now.
Well, that was the whole point of the story that I wrote, is that they think they're getting a shit deal, but I think we're being shafted as badly as they are, in a way.
Oh, go on then. So what's happened, mate?
So
offload.
Okay. So obviously you'll realise that the story that I've written is quite long.
I'm going to mute and have a Garibaldi because you'll cover it, I think. Go on.
Okay. So the issue is I'm up for an upgrade. I'm 2 years into an iPhone 6. I don't think for the first time in my life I'm not going to upgrade to a 6S or a 7 because I think they're rubbish and they don't do anything that I can't do on my 6. So I thought I'm going to go SIM free. So I've heard a lot of stories about customer service in this country being a bit crap. So I thought I'd try it for myself. So got in touch with Three, said I'm looking to either cancel or get a SIM free deal. And the online people just, because I don't talk to people. I do not talk to human beings because I don't like them very much. I only talk to you guys and my wife and my daughter. But apart from that, outside that circle, I don't talk to anyone at all. So I did the online thing and they were like, kind of like, screw off. And I was like, don't cut me off. I'll get back online. Screw off. I was like, okay. So I did a little bit of rant on Facebook, a little bit of rant on Twitter, which probably people have seen. And I thought, okay, I'm going to have to talk to a human. I went into the Three store in Norwich. A nice chap called Henry served me, and he said, okay, I can do you a deal. I'll give you 30 gigs of data for £15 a month. And I thought, that's pretty good.
And you're complaining?
No. Well, yeah. Well, wait until you see what happens. So I renewed my contract on Sunday, meant to kick in on the Monday. No upgrade in my data. And the other thing is, when I was in the city and had a couple of pints in the pub and all that, kind of screwed my data over, thinking I'm going to get 30 gigs tomorrow. And then I get a text on Monday saying, hello, Mr. Wright. Due to a technical glitch, your order has been delayed and... DPD will be in touch to tell you when your phone's going to be delivered. Plus, we're giving you a £5 discount on delivery. And I'm thinking, no, I've gone for a SIM-only deal. Fine. So I got in touch with Three, said, you sent me this message. And they went, oh, yeah, we've got a glitch at the moment. We can't process any orders. And I'm thinking, well, that's really bad for Three. Yeah, that's really bad for Three coming up to Christmas.
Mm.
So I thought, I'll wait Monday, I'll wait Tuesday, and I bugged them Monday, Tuesday, bugged them Wednesday. Still no upgrade of my deal that I've paid for. And I thought, okay, I'm going to have to bite the bullet. I'm going to have to talk to a person. So I called Three, and I said, like, okay, what's going on? And they went, we don't know. So, but you've got a technical glitch. No, we haven't. So while I was talking to him, I went online. No, nothing about a technical glitch at Three. So I started berating Three online and saying, you haven't got a technical glitch, have you? You're lying to me. And they've stopped talking to me. But that's not the only thing that I'm complaining about, because I've had a thing with my wife's iPhone 6S, which as a employee of the University of East Anglia, I'm part of the Vodafone Employee Advantage Scheme, which means that I get 15% a month off my bill.
Right.
So the first thing they do is charge me the full bill. So I say, okay, what's that about? They go, it's a transitional thing, Mr. Wright. And I was like, okay, we upgraded early. Maybe it's that. So for the last 2 months, they've charged the full price. And every time I go back, they're like, it's like starting again. It's like, oh, we don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Wright. And then my dad had a thing with a Moto G where he had a problem with, he got a Moto G, he got a SIM card and a new phone, and the phone cut out. They said it's probably the SIM card, they sent me a new SIM card. It still cut out. He then got a new phone, the phone then still cut out. And then you start looking at the prices of all the different kind of vendors and all those sort of things, because, you know, I was looking, the 3D, I was looking for a way to get, I know I'm going on, but I think they're all in collusion with each other to keep people on. And I think even though we've got more competition in the UK, I don't think we've got much of a better deal than they got in the US. Because our customer service, I know customer service in the UK is shocking across the board, but when it comes to mobile phone, it's even worse. And this week, Vodafone have even actually admitted that they don't answer any of their billing inquiries on time.
So, wow. So are you? So, at this point in time, how far are you into your contract?
Well, I started on Sunday, and it's now Friday, and they haven't honoured the contract that I signed up.
Okay. I mean, I could grant them a transition on that, because they did that with Ellis's data, that I had to wait for it to upgrade, and it ended up being about 6 days before it showed up properly. But they're charging you £15 for 30 gig of data.
Yeah.
So that was the deal that I was on. And then they said, no, you can't have that. Because,
really?
Yeah, because they took us off the unlimited plan and off the 30 gig plan and said that it was going to be £30 a month.
Ah, so you're getting screwed as well.
Yeah, I got screwed because now they've rolled the prices back a bit.
But so
it's what it is.
I think we're generally getting screwed, even though we've got so many companies. I know Sky's just come in as well to the mobile market as well, and they've got like tiered deals and all that sort of thing as well.
So
we're getting even more competition, but we're still getting screwed.
Let's go over to the over the other side of the Atlantic and into deepest Boulder and say, right, Jeffrey, how much would you pay for 30 gig of data a month, 600 minutes and unlimited texts?
Probably about, I'm going to guess about $90 a month, if I'm lucky.
There you go. Righty, shut up.
No. It's not a shut up. No.
I'm joking,
no.
Mate. All right, calm down. I was joking. All right.
Well, no.
We're all friends here.
No. It's the thing that we don't get treat. Do you remember customer loyalty, where you'd been with the company a long time, and they'd go, "Oh, you've been a customer with a long time, Mr. Wright, and we'll get you a good deal." That's all gone away now.
But I think that's the nature of the beast when you're talking about the scale of the size of the amount of people that companies deal with now. And this is my point about Apple all the time with people. It's just a company. They don't deserve loyalty because they don't give you loyalty. When they had support for the local, you know, for the Mac user groups around the countries in the world, then yes, they were deserving of some more level of respect for that purpose. But they don't even do that anymore. So, you know, just accept the fact that you're just a number. You're gonna put yourself in an early grave, and they're still not going to give a shit about you, Righty. That's the trouble, is you are just a number to them, and they can't track you. Richard could answer this one as well, because I've had this conversation with my dad said, I go into the doctors and I just see a locum constantly, and it really pisses me off. And I said, well, first of all, I know a locum and there's not a lot wrong with him because he's all right. And the second thing is, Dad, do you honestly believe that your doctor knows your notes? They don't. They know your face, perhaps. They might be able to recognise you visually, but they still have to read your notes to know what's wrong with you and to catch up with where they are. They don't keep it going in their head. So, you know, you are a number to them in that respect. But, you know, how many, 700 patients in your local practice? How do you expect them to remember you by sight? Bless you, Jeff. That's just the nature.
The place I was just working today, Ewan, has 14,000 patients.
You're kidding.
So, no. How on earth are they ever going to remember anyone? You know, it's impossible. And not everyone's in every day of the week. And like you say, there's locums coming in and out. So unless you're very, very sickly and you're there on a weekly basis, you're not going to be known by name. That, like you say, they'll know your face probably. And once they see you, it might jog their memory. But if you just sort of said somebody's name and said, right, tell me about them.
I think a real problem, though, is when, the problem that I had with Virgin, and I'll give them their due, they did a good job sorting it out, but only after someone that I know through BTN who worked in the executive branch got involved. Otherwise, I'd have still been talking to a blank phone line. That's a problem. That's the real problem. If they are just ignoring you completely, and I do appreciate your point, Roti, that you're going back to them, and it's like this is the first time they've heard it. No one is making notes on your account. That's a problem, and that requires you to write to Ofcom. because Ofcom will take action against that, because that's a systemic fault. They won't deal with individual complaints, but they will deal with a systemic fault. Sorry about the noise. That's my doorbell. Yeah.
Well, that's my point. The point that I spoke to on the phone last night to Three, and they said we have no idea about any technical faults. Because if Three were having technical faults at the moment, come Christmas, they'd be out of business. They really would. And the people on the phone said, no, we have no idea. We're processing all. It's absolutely fine. I trawled the internet to see if Three are having big problems, it'd be big news. So I think I'm being lied to by the online people. And when I call them out on it, they've stopped talking to me. And they're talking to other people. It's not like they've gone offline or they're at a Christmas party and they're drunk or anything. They're talking to other people. But they've just decided not to talk to me as a customer. And I think that's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, the more irritated you get by that, and the worse it's going to get, because they just keep ignoring you then because of the fact they know. Or you're like the two old blokes down the road that you can wind up, aren't you? Because they always come out shouting and ranting rather than just ignoring it. But I not answering you and not updating their records so that they can deal with your complaint, that's a problem. And the thing to remember, though, dude, is you've got 14 days.
Yeah, no, I know, yeah. And I know. And they're now saying that I'll get updated on the 12th, which is my contract date, which is not what I agreed to and signed to on Sunday.
Is that when your contract expires then?
And the that is when my contract expired, but I start a new contract on Sunday. So I've got the paperwork that says my new contract started on Sunday, and by midnight, so they're not actually validating the contract that I signed.
No. So I had this with Ellis's phone. When I upgraded his data, I had to wait for the next cycle after the contract had finished. You'll probably find that it'll suddenly go pling on the 12th and you'll get all the data.
Oh, I'm sure, but that's not what I signed up for. That's not what I've got with my signature and their signature.
So they're not, if your contract doesn't end until the 12th, they won't start a new contract until your old contract's ended.
No, but I start a new contract. That's the point.
No,
I, in the same way that if you go online, you can sign up for a new phone. You can get a new phone 30 days within your contract. And your new contract starts from the day that you order that new phone. Because my iPhone 6 that I have now...
Providing you're out of the contract, and they still probably will hold you till the next cycle of your billing.
Well, no, because I had that with I had an iPhone 5, and because I didn't think the iPhone 5S was any good, and then I got in, Three got in touch with me and said, do you know what, we'll give you a discount on writing off your contract, and we'll start a new contract with the iPhone 6. And they did it there and then, and it all worked absolutely fine. So I actually had a good experience up until now.
But were you out of your old contract at that point?
No, I wasn't.
Well, that's an agreed upgrade then that they've gone to, but this isn't an upgrade. You've got to finish your old contract before you start your new one, which is the 12th. So if it all comes well on the 12th, I think that's okay, isn't it?
No, because the paperwork that I had says my new contract started from Sunday, which was the, I don't know what date it was, but that I haven't literally got the paperwork that says my contract starts from the Monday.
Is it worth raising your blood pressure to the current levels, though, for 7 days worth of...
Change. Yeah, because I've run out of data. Because in the anticipation of getting 30 gig of data the next day, while I was in town, I kind of used a lot of my data. And because I'm an iMessage user and my daughter now walks to school on her own, I find it very difficult to keep in touch with her. So I'm socially having issues by not having any data, because I'm now at zero, because I was on 2 gigs, and I was hoping to raise to 30 gigs, which they promised I'd get by Monday. So they've sold me a lemon.
But did not give you a, what's the word, like sort of complimentary top up until the other
contract
starts?
That's what I asked them for, and they said they couldn't do it. I even said, throw me an iPhone 7 for free, and they said they couldn't do that either. I've tried. If you follow my Twitter feed, you'll see it's a huge argument going on between me and Three at the moment. It's if I get my, it's good because it's the weekend and I haven't got to worry about my daughter going to school or anything like that. And by Monday, I should have it. That's great. But it's just been a painful experience. And with the experience my wife's had and my dad's had, and then I thought back and I thought, do you know what? I've never had a really good customer experience come upgrade time. Because an upgrade is never really an upgrade. An upgrade is actually an excuse for you to pay more money, isn't it? So like Ewan's idea of buying a phone outright and then going to find your data provider, that's the best bet, isn't it?
I've always done that.
Yeah. So I'm now thinking.
People do say to me, well, that's all very well as long as you can afford it, but it's cheaper.
Yeah.
I pay less than they do.
But I've got an iPhone 6, which I happen to keep now. And when they said 30 gig, you know, because I was like, okay, this iPhone 6 will do me to whatever the 10th anniversary iPhone is going to be. 30 gig of data, that's great. It's basically unlimited, really, isn't it? I didn't think you'd be hard-pushed to use 30 gig of data in a month. I think I'm probably hard-pushed to push 30 gig of data in my home broadband. So I was happy with that, because by the time it's only a 12-month contract. So by the time the contract's over, I could get whatever the new iPhone is and buy outright. But, you know, nearly a week on, I haven't got the thing that I signed up and paid for.
I understand and sympathise, and I do understand, Righty, but if your new contract billing cycle is the 12th, that's all they ever adhere to, because that's all they ever adhere to with Ellis's when I upgraded it.
Mm. But that's not what's on the contract that I signed with them. They said my new contract starts from Sunday.
I think you're pushing against an immovable object there, mate.
So maybe this will help you feel a little better about
it's
it.
The 12th.
I totally was wrong about how much a 30 gig data plan would cost. $135 a month.
Oh, my God. Holy yeah,
just
shit.
Looked it up. If the $90 a month plan is actually only 16 gigs, and $80 gets you 10 gigs.
I'm guessing, Jeff, an unlimited plan involves internal organs, doesn't it?
You can't get unlimited plans.
Firstborn child.
Yeah, it's not an option. The only way to have an unlimited plan is to have bought an iPhone like 7 years ago and never changed your plan. And even still, AT&T is doing stuff to make it really difficult to use your unlimited data. And if you want to do things like Tether, then you have to cancel that plan and start a new one. And of course, at that point, you lose your unlimited data.
Right.
Is there some sort of price fixing going on? Why is anyone accepting this in the States?
There's not really a price fixing thing happening. It's just that our carriers have been able to get away with charging us so much all along, and there's just really no way right now to get the carriers to lower the prices.
I think
it doesn't matter which carrier you go to, you're going to see stuff like this. The exception would be T-Mobile, where they do offer some better plans.
I think I'm going to pay devil's advocate all night tonight, the way it feels. But to be fair as well to the American providers, they are providing coverage across a landmass which is 50 times the size of the UK and to a population that is six times the quantity of the UK.
Okay, there is
so
that.
Just some kind of balance perhaps on it.
The other thing I was just curious about as well, though, Jeff, because I think to some extent this matters, because in the UK, like say, for example, you could be on a contract and have 4G and have, you know, buckets of data in your plan, but you may get abysmal 4G speeds because there's so many people hogging the bandwidth and stuff. Do you get what you pay for there?
A lot of the time you do, but not always. You're in an area that is heavy congestion already, you're probably not going to get the best speeds. But the carriers, they have been working over the past few years to really ramp up their coverage so that they can handle the larger number of people that are using their services. Some areas, though, the governments, like local governments, will be an impediment to growing those networks. Like here in Boulder, coverage for all three of the big carriers, so it'd be AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint. No, AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile. They all have bad coverage through the entire city. Just different carriers will have better coverage in different areas. So when you pick a carrier in Boulder, you pick it based on where you live because you need to have a signal in your home. And And the reason we have this problem is because the city is very resistant to carriers adding more tower points around the city. So we have bad coverage and we can't get it fixed.
God.
Yeah.
How about everyone mourns about it abysmally and then the next day signs the petition to say they don't want any more towers?
Welcome to Boulder. Yep.
Yeah. I thought that would be the case.
Yeah. But at least they're really good about talking to customers. And it's really easy to jump carriers in the States. And so that's a big incentive for the carriers to want to talk to their customers. So if you call and you say, look, I've got this problem and I'm seriously looking at one of your competitors, then they will talk to you and they will work to find a way to try and keep you from leaving.
That's good. I don't think they care here. They'll just, like you even said, you're just another number and off you go. You know, if you don't want the package they're offering.
Mm. Yeah, they're pretty good about trying to work with people.
Have 3 Network taken any more money off you yet, Righty?
No.
Okay, so that's a good point then.
Yeah. I've got my 14 days, so I've got time to get out, so that's a good thing.
Well, I don't think you're going to need to get out, because I think Monday morning everything's going to be fixed, and that's it, because that's your billing cycle. But
I've looked online, I can't find a better deal. That's the pain in the ass.
No, there isn't. I mean, that's the thing that I had when I threatened to take my stuff away from 3 Network, is that was the best thing that was available. So
yeah,
I was stuck with it. And they knew it as well, to a certain degree. So it was like, okay, fair enough. You point there, there's no loyalty, but they don't need to express loyalty. They're just paying for a service, and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
I think if your billing cycle comes around on Monday and you get new data, then I think you're going to have to just accept it that's the end of it. But if they don't give you your upgrade on your next billing cycle, then yeah, you've got a real problem with that.
Mm. You know, I like to moan.
No, it's all right. There's nothing wrong with moaning, mate. I do it plenty.
This does actually fall into a subject I nearly talked about a couple of weeks ago. The government here are on about forcing companies, particularly say in Norfolk, you can get good EE or 3.
Yeah.
But you can't get Vodafone. Forcing companies to let you, what they call it, use all the networks for nothing.
Roaming.
Hand off, yeah. Right. Yeah.
I mean, I saw that. There was a big thing about that, and it's not law yet, but I think it's coming.
Well, are you picking that story, Rich?
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
Is that your story?
Oh, yeah. <these
times>. Yeah. No, because I think Rich's story. Go on, Rich.
I'll drop that in the chat room. Moving on to yet more mobile phone news.
Well, no, because I think it does follow on from
what's happening here is the European Union is definitely looking forward to move forward with plans to eliminate roaming charges throughout the EU. They're calling this proposal Roam Like at Home. And let you to be able to call, text, and browse the web on mobile devices whilst abroad at no extra charge. So that's interesting. They've got some weird criteria about... Let's have a look. I'll just read this out because it's probably easier. If over a 4-month period, billing data suggests that the customer has been more abroad than at home, but also consumed more data while travelling in the European Union, the operator can send a warning message. This message will warn the consumers that they have 2 weeks to inform their operator about their travel situation or to change their travel or use patterns. Only a very small roaming charge can then be applied. And they are really small as well.
So what that's stopping you from doing is signing up for a cheap contract here in the UK and then going back to living in Spain.
Naffing off to another country and using it all the time there. So it means you're going to be able to use it for a good... I mean, that's saying over a 4-month period. So that means if any length of holiday, pretty much you're going to be sorted. And even if you're just travelling around, you know, Europe, if you've got kids who are backpacking and stuff like that, they should be fine with it. So that's an awesome thing. Interestingly, that will take one advantage away from three if that becomes legislation, because that's one of their big selling features. But I don't want to go into this because it's politics, isn't it? We don't want to go there.
No,
but
go on.
What's going to happen if we leave the EU? Because I'm guessing we're not going to be allowed to have this.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
Well, we're allowed three, weren't we? Because three already done it. The
thing is, everyone's going to go on about what happens if we leave the EU. There's probably a good chance that there's a significant amount of EU legislation that's pushed through that will stay in British law anyway. So the chances are we'll probably put something in saying you will have a liaison with the European brethren to stop that. We'll certainly have something internally. So if, as you said there with Wrighty, if he suddenly goes to an area where he can't get three coverage, he can piggyback off O2 or EE and they can't make a charge for that. But I don't know if that already happens or not. I think it probably does.
Yeah.
In the UK?
That's what the government was on about doing.
They want to do that then?
Yeah, that's what they want to do. It's more to help people in areas where the coverage isn't too good. It's not going to help me and you, but it would help people in Scotland or back west.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I wouldn't, I think it would be reasonable, even if that was just for voice only calls, you know, just so that you can actually contact people if your car breaks down and stuff like that.
Well, you can always make a 999 call, definitely, so.
Yeah, I know, but that's kind of, like, you know, if your car breaks down the side of the road, I'm not dialing 999.
No. But, well, it depends where you break down, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. Break down in the middle of a dual carriageway. But I think that would be a really nice thing to have, because as long as you're not taking the mic, I guess, and I'm sure they could work out a similar arrangement that as long as you're not on the other network for more than a certain period of time, you'll be all right. So,
I'm sorry to say this, but Three Network already do have an open roaming plan through an awful lot of countries. I mean, I didn't pay.
No, that's what I'm saying, Ewan. Three would lose that as a selling advantage.
They would, but
you see what I mean?
The point I was going to make was, when I was out in the States, I had none of this. I just had my normal bill charges. I had all my normal data charges. There was nothing else extra to pay or anything. But if my point would be, if Three can do that with everyone in Europe and America, then why is there having to be legislation to intervene to stop this from occurring? Because it's clearly possible. Because Three have done it.
Technology is there.
No, it's not just the technology, right? It's as in, there's an impetus there to get this done. There's a contract path to get this done. There's a financial agreement to get this done. Why have we got to go to law? Why can't it just be done by decent, caring companies like Three have done there? Which, you know, I know you're having a problem with them.
It's so cute how you refer to phone companies as decent, caring companies.
Well, I'm sorry, but no, hang on a second, because I know Wright's got an issue with here, and I don't want to alienate his feelings about Three or the negativity of them, because they're fair. But Three have generally got good packages, and their online service, when I've needed it, has been really helpful. Mm. And their roaming stuff. When I came to Macworld, mate, that was it. I was billing on my normal plan. I didn't have to pay any charges anywhere else. There's no point in buying an away SIM or anything like that. And that was all my data on my iPad and everything.
But isn't this the modern equivalent of international? You know, obviously we're all of a certain age. We'll remember international calls where you'd pay. I don't know how much you used to pay, but if you dialed an international number, it'd be absolutely ridiculous. Now, you know, through the wonders of technology, you can call anywhere in the world for free. You know, and why is that not being pushed through to mobiles? Because I think in the terms of calls, I don't think any of us, if we looked, you know, when I went to look at my Three account, they said, oh, how many minutes of calls do you use, Mr. Wright? Out of 2,000, I use 12 a month. And we, not many of us use that many calls. It's the data that's the most important thing to us. And data should be the same thing that international calls, you know, via Skype or via IP phone and all that sort of thing. It should happen all over the place.
And I'm guessing the other companies don't want to do it because they like being able to charge a fortune for it. That's my guess.
So in the United States, not that long ago in the grand scheme of things, so like late 90s, calling on your cell phone outside of your local area was cost prohibitive, because calling to another area code, even in your own state, you'd get charged a fortune. If you called someone in another state, it was probably cheaper it was always cheaper not to use a cell phone. And we also had roaming fees when we left the state we were in. So like when I would fly from Colorado out to San Francisco for Macworld back then, I hated if my phone rang, because just the fact that my phone rang meant that I probably just paid $2, even if I didn't answer the phone, because I was paying roaming fees, because I wasn't in the city that my phone number was attached to. It was crazy.
Yeah. Granted, though, like you even said, the US is so big, it almost is like another country if you fly from one side to the other.
Are you guys old enough to remember Mercury Telecommunications? They became eventually T-Mobile.
Yes.
Yeah.
Over here, they were bought. Mercury did the rabbit phone. That's right. Yeah. What did they become after Mercury? I can't remember.
It was BT.
Something to go or something like that.
Oh, is it one to one.
They were one to one. They weren't BT because that was Cellnet. They were one to one. And when they were one to one, they did an advert, and it was a girl who picked up her phone and spoke, and someone would reach in and take
a wallet,
something from her pocket. No, they'd reach into her pocket and they'd take some money out of her pocket. And she'd talk to them. And then someone else would ring, the phone would ring and she'd pick it up, and that person on the end of the phone would be next to her and would take some money out of her pocket. And it was talking about the fact that every time someone rang you had to pay. And then there was a guy in a Chinese bloke in a chef's uniform who called her. She picked it up and she went, hello. And he lifted the money out of her pocket and went, sorry, wrong number. Making the point that you still paid, even if it was a complete wrong number that had dialed your number by mistake. And they abolished the charge to the receiver from that point forwards. And that changed the UK market completely, because we didn't have that at all. And that's exactly what Jeff's talking about there. It was a brilliant ad. Really cool. Well done. I did some work for them at the time. And I said, oh, I love that. The guy pulling the thing out. And they went, do you know, no one's noticed that. No one comments on that at all. They don't even recognise it. They just don't understand it. I was like, wow. So they don't even know that they get charged for wrong numbers. They said, no, they haven't worked that out. It's a rum old business, isn't it? The old phone business. Because there's times you think you're getting shafted, and there's other times you think, oh, that's really good. Thanks very much. I'm happy with that. I mean, and if you look at what the mobile business has done, I don't have a house phone. I haven't had a house phone for 6 years. Because the mobile coverage has got so good, because the call plans are so cheap, because I just don't need it, and because I don't get any spam phone calls anymore, because I haven't got a house phone anymore. And that's because of what the carriers have done. So,
I wanted to get to the point, Ewan, where you can have your internet and not have to pay for a landline.
Yeah.
Because I'm with BT, and I have to have both. I can't have one without the other.
No. I'd love to lose the landline. I'd love it.
I could lose the landline. It wouldn't bother me at all.
You can all use the landline. There's no reason to keep... Anyone that says they've got to keep the landline... No, if you've got a contractual requirement to keep your landline, that's one thing that's completely different. Yeah. But in terms of necessity, I have no doubt in my mind that there is no physical reason to have a landline at all.
I agree with you.
Yeah. No, I do everything on my mobile, and I'd like to say while I'm here, Jeff's little tutorial about Truecaller for iOS, that was a genius tutorial, Jeff.
Oh, thank you.
I've installed that, and I've had nothing since.
That's awesome. I've been playing with a couple other of the apps like that, and yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's so good. It really is.
Good story, mate. Good story. I hope that Brexit leaves us the best of everything and gets rid of the worst of everything. But I, can't see it. I've got to say, based on the fact of how much shit Europe appears to be in, I've changed my view a little bit more now that I didn't want to be out at all, and now I'm sitting thinking, run a mile, because it's clearly crumbling around them.
Well, I think we started it, though.
Yeah, no, I well, you say that, but I mean, I listened to Digby Jones the day after the Brexit vote, and everyone was in shock, and he said, I voted Leave, and they said, well, why did you vote Leave? You know, you're captain of industry, surely you understand the economic situation, we're in the right turmoil now, and he said, I wanted to stay in Europe, but the problem is it needed us to stay in a reformed Europe, and the problem was that Europe wasn't going to reform, which is why I voted to leave. And the more that we go on, the more I think that now. That I think we should have stayed in, but we should have stayed in a reformed structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the reform is non-existent, which is why everyone else is now going, I want out as well. So
yeah.
The only benefit of a landline is it may be operated in a power cut if the network is up.
That's assuming that you're not getting your landline through your cable provider.
Oh, yeah, because then you're shagged. Because your data box won't be working. So if you go on Virgin, then that means you're out. It's VoIP. It's not actually. Yeah. In fact, actually, probably if you're on BT Fibre, you might be using VoIP anyway.
Yeah, you would be.
I suspect I am. Yeah.
You are on VoIP, you're not on, so that's not a benefit.
You just got a VoIP with it.
Yeah, good point, Trig, but maybe not a good point, Trig.
What? So if I'm on fibre, my phone's on fibre?
Yeah.
If you're on fibre, the chances are your phone is actually making VoIP calls. It's not actually making a... There's no physical telephone line anymore.
The bastard. You've got one.
Yeah. I think you've got one cable coming into my house.
Right, he's gonna have a stroke by Monday the way we're going.
I got a vein coming now. I'm just gonna massage it back in.
Doc, can you give him a consultation and calm him down? Just
mate, I had a Can I just go back to why I'm a bit
we need Richard to write you a prescription for some blood pressure drugs and hold it up to the screen. You take a picture of it with your phone and then go down to the local pharmacist tomorrow morning.
No, the reason
what a marvelous age we live in.
No, I've been a bit weak at the knees today because I'm the system admin of we have a thing called eStream at work. And it's our version of YouTube, so it's a media streaming service. And it ran out of space yesterday. And then this morning I found out that the university wasn't backing it up. And so since then I've been a bit weak at the knees, worried.
Is it still there?
It's still there, but...
That's all right.
It probably will be there, but then I fixed it.
Is it your fault if it's not there?
It's not my fault, no.
Right, and in that case, why are you worried? Stuff them.
Because it's got my name on it. I'm the owner of this huge system. It has probably tens of millions of pounds worth of video on it, and so anything like phones and mobile provided and all that it's all exacerbated.
All right, okay. Right, take a deep breath, mate.
Relax.
Jeffrey, what's your story, mate?
My story, totally by chance, is sticking with the whole phone thing, mobile phone thing. But this is about Samsung.
Hello, welcome to the phone show. My name's Ewan Rankin. Joining me.
All right, so here's the deal. A group of researchers...
Muller, change your story.
Yeah, change your story. Make it something about phones so that we have a thing.
Anyhow, please.
So Samsung, turns out, when they designed the Galaxy Note 7, you know, the explodophone, they intentionally violated the laws of physics, and that's making phones explode. So what they did was they designed a frame for the battery that's too small. And so there's no space for the battery to expand as it's charging.
So it's the right size. Or not, if is what you're saying. The battery fitted in it, but it couldn't go anywhere when it got hot.
Right, yeah. So the space is too small for the battery.
Yeah.
Even though it'll fit in there, you need to have a gap all the way around so that there's room for it to expand. And when it can't expand, there's like a little membrane between the two halves of the chemical battery, and that can get pressure on it, and then it causes the chemical on one side to leak to the other, and then you get a runaway reaction and your phone explodes.
So they were saying that the separator might have been the issue, but it's not, it's the size of the battery.
Yeah. And so now if they went with a smaller battery, they wouldn't have had this problem, but then they would have had a much worse battery life for the phone, which they weren't going to do. So then the next option is you make the phone bigger so that there's more space for the battery. And apparently they didn't want to do that. So they decided that they were going to make the space that the battery sits in exactly the right size for the physical size of an unused battery.
So just to be clear, so we don't get sued by anyone, have we got this as a smoking bullet that we saw? You know, is this a Ford Pinto level email that says, stuff it, make the battery the right size and the compartment the right size, and we'll take the chances?
Well, what we have, if you look at the article, what they did was they measured all the components and compared it to what the industry standards are for battery compartments.
Right. Okay. So just to be clear, for the purposes of not getting sued in the UK, because the libel laws are entirely different here from where you are, there's no suggestion that Samsung found that there was an error and thought, stuff it, we'll try and get away with it. This is just a cock-up.
It's a cock-up. I like that. I can say cock-up. Cock-up. Anyhow, what they did was they made a battery compartment that's too small, and whether that was intentional or not, whether they chose to let that happen, knowing that there was a likelihood of batteries exploding, we don't know.
I doubt that.
But we do know that based on how every other phone is designed, that this compartment was designed at the wrong size. And it's hard for me to believe that Samsung didn't know that they were making the space for that battery too small.
Conjecture. We have nothing to substantiate that at all, Jeffrey. Move on.
An American's conjecture. There you go.
An American's conjecture.
Anyhow, so my concern out of this is, what happens when a company, hypothetically speaking, decides that they don't care about the safety measures that they need to take for a product because they want to push it out the door to beat a competitor into that space?
Not suggesting that that's what Samsung have done here. Carry on.
I love how you're totally helping me with this.
Well, it's either that or I'm broke come Monday morning.
And we don't want that. No, we don't want that. So, so this hypothetical company, I mean, it's just surprising to me that we can be in a place where we can talk about hypothetical companies intentionally avoiding safety measures in products and pushing them out the door.
Let's just be clear what intent is, and it's not a faux pas. It's a lot worse than a faux pas, so I think we won't call it intent, we'll call it a faux pas.
Well, and keep in mind, I'm talking about a hypothetical company in this situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stop talking because I'm really worried that that you're going to end up with all kinds of trouble, you, and if I keep opening my mouth.
Most places, when you bring up kids and stuff like that, you have a swear jar, you know. If they swear, they have to put money in the swear jar. We need a liable jar. Every time someone says something that makes me go, oh, me arse clenches, then we'll have to put 100 quid in the liable jar. Go on, Richard.
Jeff, is anyone suing Samsung for injuries in the States because of the phone?
Oh, God, yes.
So it's going to come out then. It's going to come out. The lawyers are going to be looking for that, and it's going to come out.
If it happened, Jesus.
Okay, well, so
if the smoking gun is found.
Yeah, but
the lawyers are going to be looking for that smoking gun big time.
Yes.
And didn't I see something on Twitter saying that, I don't know if it's been confirmed or not, but there was somebody had tweeted out that that Samsung are now remotely bricking the Note 7.
Oh, yes, yeah.
What
they're doing, you're going to love this. Okay, so what they have is a software update that's going to get pushed out, I think, on the 16th, but it's like next week, and it's going to brick the phones. But in the United States, this is dependent on all these software updates like this for Android phones, unless you own a phone that you have total control over. You are at the mercy of your carrier to push updates out to you. Verizon has decided they are not going to push this update out to the phones because they don't want to have customers that are upset that their phone stopped working.
Oh, what?
So they're okay with the potential that the phone could explode in someone's pocket, but not with the phone not working.
I would say that is negligence to the point of criminality.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so we have lawsuits that are all lining up targeting Samsung for making the explode a phone.
No, but what I'm saying is forget about whether a phone explodes. I would suggest that federal law enforcement should be looking at that decision as being a criminal negligence decision.
My guess is that's exactly what's going to happen. And there will be lawsuits lining up against Verizon for not pushing out the brick update.
Not pushing it.
Wow.
I mean, it's bad, isn't it? Because there's, for whatever reason, some people are deciding they're still going to cling on to this phone despite everyone around them telling them that they need to get rid of it.
It is a good phone by all accounts, though.
What, sorry?
Once you take out the death risk, it is a good phone, and no one's died yet.
Well, it could be.
Died. We've had cars that have been completely destroyed. We've had apartments and houses that have been burned. We have people that have suffered third-degree burns. There's been all kinds of property destruction in the United States because of these phones, and a lot of people ended up in the hospitals. But you are correct. No one has died from this phone.
Mate, in America, you shot more people from when it first ignited to when it finished burning than have killed in the whole episode with the phone. So,
yes.
In perspective.
Sad but true.
In perspective.
Yes.
I think the thing that they got away with is the fact that... They bundled the Note 7 with the Samsung Galaxy VR thing, and that thing didn't blow up on someone's face. I think they got away lightly with that.
Yeah, because they put it...
It would get hot in that thing, so...
Yeah.
I think the one thing as well to add is I'm only looking at it from the outside, I'm only looking at reported news stories, but I have been quite impressed that Samsung have taken it very seriously. They have elevated this. They have sent notifications out saying, people, you do not want this phone, bring it back to us. We will sort you out. It's not a problem. And that they have done a good due diligence on trying to get the phones back, if nothing else. And the fact that they're now willing to send out a brick really does, I think, show them in a good light.
I am really glad they're doing this.
Yeah.
They should have done it earlier.
Kudos to them for that.
Yeah, but they should have done it earlier.
It's not about making mistakes. It's about admitting you make mistakes.
The update, will it require the user to agree to take it?
I don't know.
I wouldn't have thought so, because there's no point otherwise.
Yeah, my guess is it's going to be a forced update.
Right.
Yeah. You'll wake it one.
Yeah, I was just wondering, because the type of people who've held on to their phones are probably just going to refuse to update the phone.
You
really got your head in the sand if you're holding on to it.
Mm-hmm.
Hand it back.
You've also got to remember that
Galaxy 7 instead.
Go on, Roddy.
Well, you also got to remember that a lot of this news about the Galaxy S7, the Note 7 is a lot of it is. Yeah, I know that people on attend some planes say, "Have you got a Note 7 or anything like that?" But we're monitoring the tech news, and I know it's made it through to the mainstream news and all that sort of thing, but there may be some people who aren't that engaged with the kind of the news feeds that we're engaged with. So there might be a lot of people out there who've gone into a store and go, that's a really nice phone, and they've got a good deal, and got a good upgrade, and they're none the wiser.
I would have a hard time believing that people in this country at this point are none the wiser. If you go to buy a plane ticket anywhere from within the United States, you get a big splash screen telling you that you can't take Galaxy Note 7s on the plane and it's a federal crime. And when you get your tickets, you like your e-tickets, there's a big alert that pops up and tells you that you can't take a Galaxy Note 7 on an airplane. And when you go to other public transportation things now, there's signs saying you can't take a Galaxy Note 7 onto this vehicle, and it's been all over the news. Wow. It's kind of crazy how much publicity Samsung is getting. It's negative publicity in the United States, but how much publicity they're getting here for that phone.
What did they do for the brand, though? Because I know it's the Note 7. I know some people have said that the S6 and the S7 and all that have been kind of roped into it, even though not having the same problems. Do you think the Note line is probably dead, but do you think Samsung will take a hit generally?
I think they'll take a hit, but they're such a big company, it won't matter in the long run. My guess is they will never release another product that has 7 at the end of the name, and they'll be very careful about when they use the Note name. Like the last flight that I was on, it was coming back from Philadelphia to Denver on Monday. So just a few days ago. And they did the usual pre-flight briefing for all of us. The airbag drops down, blah, 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 blah. And then they do the thing where they tell us if you've brought a Samsung phone onto the plane, that you need to let the flight attendants know because they're going to take it from you.
So you're saying that at the point you get your ticket, they warn you, and they warn you again, but some people will still take it onto the plane to be warned again and have it confiscated.
Yeah, well, if you take a Note 7 onto a plane, you will get arrested. Yeah. But if you have any other Samsung device that you take onto the plane, the flight attendants are all like, nope, we don't want Samsung stuff on our flights. You have to turn that off and it stays off for the flight.
So the point is, though, guys, who are the one body who would vigorously vigorously defend a product that was faulty to the very end and then eventually would have to go, okay, you got us?
Apple.
It would be the manufacturer.
Yeah.
So at the point the manufacturer says, do you know what? We think you're right, chaps. Let's have them all back, please.
Yeah.
Then and you're saying that then it's a criminal offence to take that device on knowing full well it could down the plane. I mean, that realistically could happen.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're talking about something sets fire to the inside of the plane, catches onto some flammable material like someone's coat or someone's baggage or something
Samsung
like that.
Samsung phones, though. We've taken Samsung phones on planes for donkey's years and they've not exploded.
No. Jeff's not saying that. Whoa, stop. Jeff hasn't said that, mate. No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Calm yourself down, man.
Jeff said that if you take a Galaxy Note 7 on a plane, you'll be arrested. And all Samsung phones are asked to be switched off. That's two separations.
Yeah. Because the Note 7 that went on the plane that exploded, it melted through the floor, didn't it?
I suppose it would do, yeah.
I thought that was alien blood.
If you talk about the stuff that, you know, the seating and that kind of stuff in a plane, it's not going to be flammable because that stuff's been done 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But people carry things on that are flammable that would cause enough of a problem to cause it to burn the plane down.
I've got another idea. Why don't we have removable batteries like in the old days where you could actually take the battery out?
Yeah, that'd be good because then you couldn't put it back in because it would swell.
Well, no, they could actually just replace the batteries in, couldn't they?
Well, if you take the battery out, now what? Because you're still taking the battery on the plane.
But the battery's not going to expand.
It's not connected, is it? So it's only if you pierce it then. But the product demands IPX rating waterproofing, doesn't it? So therefore, you can't have a replaceable battery on a device that you want to be waterproof. Simple as that.
I don't know, because I'm pretty sure there was a brand that did that.
The GoPro 5 is a waterproof camera.
It's got a replaceable battery.
And it's got a replaceable battery in it.
What you can do it.
But
it's a very different form factor.
It's hugely different. And also it's got very thick doors with big suckers on the bottom that seal. And when you actually close the door, you can hear it going as it pushes the air out. It's very impressive.
Good luck getting someone to think that's a sexy design for a phone.
Yeah. And a good GoPro as well. Well done to GoPro, because they did a recall on the Karma, the drone that they had that just fell out of the sky for no apparent
reason. Oh, yes, it did, yeah.
And they've told everyone who's got a Karma, send it back to us and we'll send you a free GoPro 5 to compensate you for your time and trouble, as well as your money back.
Which is that's really cool. That's a good way to handle a problem like that.
Definitely.
I'll get good Karma.
Thanks for that. I'll tell you what,
it's Bobby Davro.
I've had another week of him and Briny coming out with shit jokes over at the Curry House again. I'm not going next week. There's no shows next week because of it. I could do shows next week, but I'm not doing it because of the fact I can't put up with the frigging jokes. What's your story, Muller?
Okay, it's not very related, but there it is. Okay, it's social media news.
Oh, yeah, your mic needs to go a little bit closer.
Sorry, I'm just trying to up it. This lady, disgraceful lady, she's basically opened a Facebook account pretending to be her ex-boyfriend, stalked herself, made complaints to the police, took out an injunction and got him arrested 4 times. Poor chap, didn't know what the hell was going on. And unfortunately, I don't think the American police did due diligence. He ended up in one case where they had to pay about $200,000, bail. And he was obviously threatening to go to prison for an awful long time. And luckily for him, the prosecutors noticed there was an issue with some of the messages and decided to look into it. But the worst thing about it is that they had to contact Facebook and all these different accounts. And they took 6 months to come back to them, kept bouncing their requests. And while this poor bloke was on bail, looking at losing his liberty.
God.
And luckily, I think it's one of the bring it back to phones. She'd been using a mobile phone to do this, and they got her with a mobile phone bill. I think it was T-Mobile.
So she's got his password then?
No, she opened an account pretending to be him.
Oh right, so he wasn't on Facebook.
No, he didn't know about this account, and she was using the account and posted messages pretending to be him. And she literally took out an injunction against him, made complaints to the police.
He must have done something bad to her.
Oh, he must have done, yeah. But crikey, O'Reilly,
a woman scorned, mate.
Yeah. Well, it comes back really now. Our government's thinking about bringing anti-stalking laws in. Are we going to be?
We've got some stuff, haven't we, for stalking? But it's not particularly vengeful. Or
yeah, exactly.
Well, a lot of the previous harassment laws don't really take into account the internet, do they? I mean, they can be used.
There is a separate stalking offence, isn't there, on top of harassment?
Several layers.
Yeah,
but it's all the harassment laws were meant for harassment, that people could do, but they didn't really take into account today's social media accounts. And I don't think an awful lot of police officers are very good at investigating online stuff. They don't get the training. And I think it's going to become a major problem in the future.
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting kids, aren't we? It was on one of the programs, a daytime program today. They were discussing children bullying each other online. And our day it was in the playground and then you escaped it. But now it's happening in the playground and then online when they're at home. So they're not escaping the hassle.
The Protection of Freedoms Act 2012 deals with stalking, and it's part of the harassment stuff as well, on top of the harassment act.
Well, they're toughing it up, aren't they? It's a white paper at the moment where they're on about online stalking.
Mm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's nothing for online, yeah.
Well, you can use harassment. Because it is still, it's, harassment still fits. It's just not. Yeah, I know. My advice, but I still think it's not the right tool. We need a better tool.
New offence of stalking, section 2A.
But it takes into account the methods of stalking as well.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people don't realise they can be caught, and I think this new act will compel the social media vendors to hand over the information quicker.
Well, I mean, it's interesting as well, isn't it, that everyone's going on about the Snooper's Charter and that kind of stuff, but actually, if Snooper's Charter was fully in place for this, that would aid the process of getting data for the prosecution.
Well, it would do, yeah, but I mean, that data's held by the social media anyway, so...
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you're saying that that Facebook dragged their feet.
Oh, they did. Well, that was America,
one of the things that the Snooper Charter allows you to do is to get into more online data and more access information straight away. So if you want to run an online service in this country, you have to keep a copy of it and a record for it for a minute or 12 months.
Well, they would anyways, but what it should do is give quicker access to it so that it can be nipped in the bud quicker. Because I think one of the problems is this poor chap was on bail for 6 months in America, and obviously I don't know what the penalties are in America, but they tend to be a lot harsher, should we say, than European penalties.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd be probably looking to go to prison for an awful long time, and probably was changing his underpants regularly.
Yeah, it's a safe bet.
Yeah, well, particularly that he didn't even know it was going on and was being locked up by the police officers at least four times.
I'm gobsmacked that this has gone on for so long when his first point is, I haven't done that. I haven't created a social media account.
Yeah, but that's everyone's first offence, isn't it?
They can go back and check that.
They could go back and look at IPs when it was created and that kind of stuff. Someone's not done due diligence here by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. He's lucky that their version of the... They're prosecutors. Has noticed that there was something wrong with the messages.
Surely the Facebook page itself would have been evidence, and it wouldn't even take me 5 minutes to work out that it wasn't the person that it was. So is it that Muller might be able to ask this, but do police have the technical knowledge to look back on those sort of things and do that due diligence of working that out?
I don't think they do. In the United States,
the answer for the most part is no.
It's the same.
Well,
it's surprising how technologically ignorant many law enforcement agencies are in this country. So if they saw a Facebook page that appeared to be this guy's and they had cause to arrest the person that had the Facebook page, they'd arrest him. And when he says, it's not me, I didn't make that page, they'd be like, yeah, we've heard that before. Yeah. And he'd go to jail, and he'd be sitting in jail adamant that he hadn't done anything wrong, and they'd be like, shut up, you're going to jail.
That's when you need your lawyer.
But
the thing is, I noticed that they were talking in the new police bill about employing more civilian investigators so that people with technical knowledge will be employed to do the investigation of those kind of crimes, because you don't need a warrant or a warranted officer to do that kind of investigation.
And if you're providing a copy of data as well, you haven't got to worry about chain of custody there either, have you?
Because you're providing
a copy for investigation, not the original.
Yeah, you just need a warrant or whatever the new act's going to require you to provide.
So are we saying that the fact that a lot of online abuse happens online now, that we really aren't equipped in the near future to actually deal with it? You know, as a father of a teenager,
I don't think we are. I don't think police officers are trained or given the time or given the experience or given the tools to do it.
Yeah, but I think you've got to remember that what you need is a framework to be able to act, and that's what Snooper's Charter has provided. That's one of the positive elements of it, is the fact that there is a recording of data in a receptacle, in inverted commas, a bucket somewhere that can be accessed by law enforcement without having to go through onerous processes.
But that's a mallet to smash it, not though, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Steady. I mean, I think everyone's gone on about Snooper's Charter and thinks that the police are bothered about looking at absolutely everything that they do online.
They don't give a shit.
But when they get a complaint, like this one would be, this would be a positive use of investigatory powers for online activity.
Well, you could do it anyway.
Give it credit to the fact that a decent piece of legislation has been passed that allows the police to actually do that. Yeah. And that's wrong.
Well, you could do it under Ripper anyway. I mean,
but the information wasn't there under Ripper, whereas the information has to be kept there now with...
Well, it would have been for Facebook and stuff.
Yeah.
There was no legal requirement for them to keep it.
It is anyways, it's there for 12 months. You can go look on your own Facebook page for that.
No, I know, but there was no legal requirement for them to keep it and for make it... There is to make it available if they've got it, but now we've got the requirements to keep it for 12 months minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah. People need...
Snooper's Charter... sorry, the Snoopers chart, as far as I understood it, was it only sort of logged the main website that you go to, not where in the website. So in this case, it would just log that she was going onto Facebook, wouldn't it? It wouldn't tell you anything more than that.
But then you'd have access time, so she wasn't accessing her own account at that time.
And location as
okay.
well.
Yeah. Okay, maybe.
And it would say the ISP, and the ISP would tie it to the IP would tie it to the account.
Tie it to a phone as well.
Yeah.
Because she was using a mobile telephone, mobile data.
So, well, you probably still need Facebook to give out some data, though, I think.
That was the problem. They had to wait for that data, and they had to wait for the data from the mobile company as well.
Maybe you need some legislation there to say, look, if it's a police inquiry, you need a deadline for you to hand that kind of information over.
Well, there is. Even now, there is. You can get data from phone companies under certain circumstances, which is like life and death is one of them. Otherwise, you've got to wait, and you've got to get a warrant.
I'm glad to say that the woman in the chat room has said this, not me. She looks like one scary bunny boiler.
I laugh only because it's scary.
We had a very long conversation about the wherewithal of legal access to pure information there, and we could have summed it up actually far better there. Yeah, she looks like a bunny boiler. Guilty.
Yeah, but not everyone's going to be a bunny boiler. And not everyone.
Pass me my black cap, Norman Stanley Fletcher.
Well, on a serious note, though, we're especially with children at the moment misusing social media. And I know Paul wants to say something. He's been dying for the last couple of minutes.
Yeah.
So I'll let him in.
Well, the point is, okay, things like Facebook and those sort of things. Okay, you've got a legal limit of 13 years old. And I know of multiple people's children who ask for friend requests aren't 13 years old. They're under 13 years old. Their parents allow it because they're friends with their parents on Facebook. And I don't, you know, it's my nephews and nieces. I don't befriend them on Facebook because some of the things I put on Facebook are a little bit racy. And I don't want to share that sort of thing with them. And I think some of the things out in the world are a bit dodgy. And my daughter turned 13 this year. And I said to her, oh, you can have a Facebook account this year. She went, I don't fancy it. Because you're all there. She doesn't care. She doesn't,
you're on there.
Yeah, she doesn't care. She's all about Snapchat and all those sort of things.
Be on Baidu, Dad. Because it sounds better in a Norfolk accent. Baidu.
She's probably on tour by now. She's so bloody clever. Her IT teacher tells me she's beyond belief. So, you know, I've done something right. But this is the thing. I am very, internet weary because I've been on the internet for many years. I've been on the internet since it really started, and I've seen it from when it was a good thing, from where it was just HTML pages to the first social networks to what we've got today, which is just a raft of information. You can type something into Google and you can find something inappropriate straight away. I haven't gone to lengths to restrict her or do things like open DNS and those sort of things to restrict what she does. I've told her what's out there. We did trials of her using a phone for 6 months, talking to people who she knew. We did a 6-month trial of her using email, talking to people who she knew. And at that point, the phone never left the house. Once she'd passed all of those tests, the phone then left the house. And fair enough, find my friend's location tracker is on all the time on her phone just because she's a 13-year-old girl and she went to school on her own. But I think there's a lot of people out there who just go, here's the device, it connects to the world, go out there. And they've got data wherever they are, away from their eyes of their parents, and they could be going anywhere. And it is just, they always say it's up to the parents, and I think it is up to the parents, because You take a thing like when my daughter's at school, she's 13, but the kids in her school are up to 18 years old. She hears things in the playground that aren't suitable for her, but because they all mix, it's, she can't escape it, but you really have to be so careful nowadays. Maybe like 5 or 6 years ago, I wouldn't have been so worried. The internet was a different thing 5 or 6 years ago, but now, Jesus Christ, if you're a parent and you give your child an internet-connected device and you don't check on it or you don't monitor it, you are You're a freaking idiot.
I don't think the world's a less safe place now than it was 25 years ago.
No, but where they the rabbit hole that they can go into is worse, I think.
I don't know.
No, because you'll always get loners who get separated from the herd, who then get picked on by others. I that's always taken place. I'm not sure it does. I mean, I can talk about it now because it's over. But Ellis got a murder threat, and it wasn't I wish you were dead type stuff. He got one through Instagram. Now I've got all of his passwords for all of his accounts, all of the social media stuff, and I've got his password for his email, which is here, and I didn't see it. I couldn't see it. I had to log on to Instagram in order to see it. It didn't get any notification via email or anything like that. And the guy said, either you stop doing this or I will murder you and I can get away with it because I've got ADHD. So I was like, okay, we're just going to go straight to the police with that, which we did. And the police were brilliant. I've got to say, the police have been absolutely excellent. But that all happened completely under my radar, and he thinks I am a bastard for how much I restrict and watch his social media stuff, and it still bypassed me.
Oh wow.
So but that's not a tale for you to then go and go, oh holy shit, it's worse out there than ever and I've got to go and do something completely different. The point was, when he got it, he told us.
That's the thing you've got to work on.
Not the bit about whether you know their passwords or not. It's whether you think they're going to tell you when they're in trouble.
Well, that's the other point, though, isn't it? It's the point of a lot of people who'll stick their kids in front of a TV or give them an iPad or a tablet or an Xbox, whatever, and say, get on with it. Or there's the parents like us who interact with their children, give them the technology and teach them the responsibility of having that technology. That if something happens, they feel they can talk to us.
But, I think it's irresponsible to give kids a route to the internet without some monitoring and without an education. But that said, it's not a default that child is at risk, because if that child is willing to come and say to you, this just happened, this person just said this, this person just asked this when I spoke to them online, that's the fail-safe. That's the thing that you need to encourage. Whether you do any of the other stuff, you're irresponsible if you don't, but that's the key part, is make sure that your kids can still talk to you about it.
I think another key point is that people are more willing to report stuff these days, and also the authorities are more willing to listen.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first joined...
Our police were brilliant with this.
Yeah, when I first joined, if a man came into the police station and said, my wife's beating me, the chances are he'd have probably got laughed at and told to man up. And that, I know it's not a joke, but that is probably what would have happened. People like me who just joined were probably drawers were dropping, but the old sweats would have said that. They definitely would. And when they brought in the male rape law, that men could be raped... Some of the old sweats, their attitude was awful. And I know some of the CID. And there was people like me just, look, we've got to deal with this. And their attitudes were awful. And you're finally getting those sort of dinosaurs had to be rooted out.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why we're a lot better off these days, I mean, particularly look at the football scandal that's going on at the moment, all these people that historically have been doing things to children. For professional clubs, we all know it's in the news in Britain. For Jeff, it's like Liverpool, Man United, even Stoke and Villa, and possibly other clubs as well. People are now coming forward, and I don't think it would happen today, because I think the first time a person like that touched one of your children, they would tell you, wouldn't they?
I think it's not as overt as touching, though. That's the point. It's a gradual process. It's a long, slow boil to the point that something occurs.
But they're more likely to say something.
But they are more likely to say something.
And I think they're more likely to approach. The trouble is that in the past, I think authority swept it under the table, and not just the clubs. I'm talking about the law as well. The police.
You look at all this stuff associated with the Elm Guest House and that kind of thing. I've got no doubt in my mind that went up to people and people told, no, just let it go because this person is too important to
I remember years ago doing importuning.
Be careful what you say now.
Importuning. I'm not going to mention names. And we had some shocking people coming in, and eventually we locked up someone who, should we say, that was a member of parliament, and we were closed down.
Because of it.
And one person almost lost, well, did technically lose his job. He ended up going to Canada. Because they made his life a misery. And I know this was caused by that. After that, we weren't allowed to do it.
Yeah. But the one thing you got to do, if you hand your kid technology and you can hand him a tablet or put Netflix on and you can go, okay, I can go and do the cleaning or the washing up or the ironing or whatever, do dinner. Just pop in now and then, just what I do with my daughter, and I'm an OCD sufferer, and it sticks with me. I just pop in now and then going, you all right, love? What are you up to? Are you okay? What was the highlight of your day? You know, just that, just break it up now and then with like some real human interaction, not just something that's on the screen. Just to pop in now and then and break it up for them, because they can't become reliant on that stuff. And the whole of humanity is becoming reliant on their screens. I'm guilty of it. I stare at my phone a lot. You know, I sit on the loo and look at my phone and all those sort of things. And I'm now encouraging my team at work to take 10 minutes out of their hour every day to get away from their screens and all that sort of thing. But if you've got kids and they've been on the tablet for 3 hours, no, just step in and go, oh, let's bake some cake. Are you all right? Tell me about your day, that sort of thing. And it breaks it up and they build more of a connect. If not, they're building a connection with technology and things that aren't really real. You just need to interact with them because it's not a replacement for you.
Good. We need to move on because Jeff's drinking moonshine out of a jar.
I like to think of it as white.
Batwin says, bloody hell, Paulum's, you seem very well trained. But he's got a dominant wife, mate. Of course he does what he's told.
I do.
I'm a dominant boss.
I do.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. Please check them out. They're absolutely wonderful, wonderful people. They've supported us now for nearly 10 years and they're going to support us for another 7 for sure. Please get all of your domains and all that kind of stuff through them because they're really worth your business. They look after us. So if you value what BTN provides, look after them. All of the live shows that we do, hosted by them and sent out by them, all the Not Quite Live stuff is through their servers. All of the stuff that we get, and regardless of the amount of bandwidth we consume, is all through them. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 if you just want to sign into your account, and we'll get kudos for it, and then /sponsors if you want to get all the offer codes, and you can technically empty your basket if you try hard. And also check out Hoya. I cannot tell you how excited I am about this. These are a set of Uniku glasses. I will be going in the new year, and the new year is not far away now. And I will be having my face measured, and I will pick a style of frame, and they will tweak it and move it around so it fits exactly on my face. And then my glasses will be printed, and they will be glasses for me and for no one else. No one else can put them on and have them in the right position. You can't even bend them to put them in the right position. They will be printed, 3D printed, for me and for the lenses that are going to go in them. I am so excited about this. I cannot tell you. The new year cannot roll around enough. And if they're winding me up and it's the new year as in like, well, December's still the new year technically, Ewan, then I'm going to get so upset. Because I come 1st of January, I'm going to be on the phone to Mark. Hello, mate. Any news? If you wanted to get in touch with Hoya and you want the Avantech, that kind of stuff, or you want the whole measuring experience, then go to podcast@hoya.co.uk and they will arrange it for you. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world. Adam said today, he said, yeah, I need to get in touch with my local rep. I've got to find out who that is. I said to him, just write to Mark. Mark will tell you who your local rep is in San Diego. Simple as that. If you want to go to Boulder, Mark will know whoever it is in Boulder and they'll organize it for you. There you go. Right, time for the cool thing. Start us off, Rich.
Well, in the spirit of the season, I thought I'd do something that's about giving for a change. I'm not sure where I came across this app, actually, but it's a really, really nice app called Share the Meal, and it's made by...
Oh, that's awesome, this is.
The United Nations World Food Programme.
Yeah.
So what that does, little app on your phone, makes it really easy just to very quickly go in once you've set up your initial account and give a small donation. When you click on the Share the Meal icon, you get the option to feed a child for one day for 35 pence. There is, let's have a look, feed a child for a week for £2.45, and then it escalates all the way up to giving monthly or give £127.75 for a year. So there's all sorts of gradients of what you want to pay. But I think the best way to do it is just to do a small donation whenever you remember to. So you know, whenever you go out for a meal or buy yourself a coffee or something like that, just try and think on and give a little 35p, and it'll help to feed a child somewhere in the world. I think it's awesome. A lovely little app and a great use of technology for good for everybody else in the world.
Brilliant. Excellent. Awesome. 125 quid's not a lot, is it, really, for feeding someone for a year?
No.
Well, exactly. You think we a lot of us here would toss that away on an Alexa or something like that, you know.
Exactly.
I've probably drunk my way through that before now.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's the least that we could do as privileged people in the world.
Like it. Good pick, mate. Excellent pick. Thank you. Jeffrey, what's your cool thing?
Oh, man, after that, I kind of look like a jerk.
You're just a Lego.
Oh, that is, man. You. No.
Let's get back to radical consumerism. There you go.
No. It's fine. You go ahead, Jeff. The cool thing's whatever you think is cool. There's no social pressures on here. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So a couple of days ago, I was having a discussion with someone who said they can't find a valid use for the Apple Watch. And so I rattled off all the things that I used it for, and they said, still not valid for me. So I stepped it up a notch, and I'm dropping the link into the chat room now. And I found them something that it turns out actually was really valid for them. This is a vibrator that you can control through your Apple Watch. Yeah. So it does like the Bluetooth thing, so you can.
I don't think the Bluetooth thing's the selling feature myself, really. But go on.
No, well, okay, well, it's useful because you know you can have this in use out in public discreetly if you want, and you know, like maybe go out for coffee, and you can just sit there and discreetly tap on your watch and give your special. A little something something special, and it works over the internet as well, so you can give someone a special little thrill even if you're not nearby. So that
I reckon, you know, I could get the wife more excited about this than Wemo.
That clears me for the bash.
can you imagine being in an interview with your boss or something, or having your
Moving on. Don't give right ideas.
Oh, yeah, we've got Secret Santa coming up.
Yeah, there you go. And hey, it's only $99.
Don't they do one for the blokes? I know I'm a modern man. I'm well aware that this could be used for the blokes as well, but I'm just thinking that...
There was one that I saw for men. It's a remote control cock ring. it's not this company though.
No, hang on. You need to think about your punctuation there, Jeff. It's a cock ring that's remote controlled. it sounds like there's a remote controlled cock that's got a ring.
Who am I to judge?
Mind you, I've got to say there wasn't a lot of thought when I was a youth, so it kind of was remote controlled.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Good times. Oh dear. So, all right, Ewan, I'll find you the cock ring with remote control.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate
sure
that.
Sure thing.
See what a team we are. We are a real team. Muller.
Oh, what, mine? Okay, mine's a YouTube chat. Oh, it's not working. Sorry, just paste.
Muller has left the chat room.
Okay, mine's it's a YouTube channel by Brian Brushwood. I came across it the other day. Him and another guy, basically do stupid things for internet telly, making hooch, for instance, jailhouse hooch and all sorts of things. And I think it's just quite a good fun. And it's free, so you can watch him do all sorts of stupid things. I'm just trying to find the blooming website again.
Brian's done quite a few stuff, hasn't he? He's done Scam School and that kind of stuff, which is always good.
And he follows me on Twitter.
Yeah, he follows me too.
Okay.
I've been on the show with him.
Have you?
He called me Ewan instead of Mr. Rankin. I called him Brian instead of Mr. Brushwood.
I didn't call him anything. I just called him Maybe.
What's it called?
Modern... Oh, it's not coming up on me.
Just search Brian Brushwood on YouTube.
Yeah, please.
And see, after 3 weeks, you'll find it.
Old bugger. Anyway, modern arc. It's modern. Oh, flipping hell. It's not coming up.
Okay.
Okay, let me give me a second.
We'll come back to you.
Yeah.
Righty boy, what you got for a spell?
Well, I'm going to do this because it's going to piss Muller off.
Oh, right.
This little bugger.
I can't see it.
3D Google, remote viewer, yeah.
Google Cardboard, which I know Muller went to town to go and get.
Oh, yeah.
But the difference between this one is it's in frickin' Poundland.
Oh, man.
No, it's not. I went to get one.
And it's, well, it's in Norwich Poundland, but it's not in your Poundland.
And how much
but,
was
yeah.
it?
£100.
But,
No, you're joking, but you said you bought a Christmas tree in Poundland for £8, so that's not... I'm not as stupid as it sounds.
But, I was in the other day to buy some iPhone charging cables, and it's absolutely completely good. So it's got the lenses and all that sort of thing. And, you know, if I've kind of, you know, the price of Google Cardboard, I thought it's not really worth it. But I saw that and I thought, for £1, you want to get into a little bit of VR, £1 is not... You know, it's not a great deal to spend. And we've downloaded the Google Cardboard app. We've downloaded the Within app, which has got roller coasters and underwater things and all those sort of things. And me and the daughter, we've just been having quite a laugh with it, you know. And you can just, you know, in fact, you just put your phone in it. Sits in there quite nicely. It's got nice little pads in there for your phone to sit quite neatly and all that sort of thing. It's got the little dividers for your eyes and all that sort of thing. Google Cardboard normally retails about like £12-15, but £1, you can't go wrong with that.
No, very good, mate. Excellent. Well done.
To buy some more and bring them to the bash.
I will give everyone a free Google Cardboard at the bash.
There I'll charge £5 each.
Tickets are now £21 each. go on, Muller, what was your thing?
It's The Modern Rogue by Brian Brushwood. I'll lend you my iPad.
The Modern Rogue, that's fine. Don't worry, that's fine. Modern Rogue, there we go. My cool thing is a game for Xbox or PlayStation or PC, and it's called Steep.
Oh,
it's a green Xbox, so that's why you can't do it. So this was released 2 days ago, and Steep is it's basically you get a wingsuit and a snowboard and a paraglider and a set of skis, and you get dumped in a mountain range, and you can go anywhere in the mountain range and just get down the mountain however you see fit. There are challenges there and stuff like that, and you can do jumps and twists and get points and that kind of stuff, and things get harder and the runs get harder as you get better. But basically, you just go anywhere, do anything on this mountain range. I'm sure in probably about 3 weeks' time I'll be bored shitless of it because of the fact there won't be anything new to do on it. But so far, I've played it for a couple of days off and on, and I've really enjoyed it. It's really, really good. And the wingsuiting stuff is really cool. There's one where you actually wingsuit down through the chairlift, you know, like the chairlift rides that bring you up the mountain. You actually fly down through those and zigzag in and out of them and that kind of stuff, the proximity flying. It's really cool.
There was an article I saw about the makers of that, how they did it.
Right.
And they literally did some of it with a drone.
Right. You mapped the area out.
Yeah, when they did it. You know that one where they go down around the corner?
That's wingsuit flying, yeah.
Yeah, they did it with a drone and a bird as well. They used a bird of prey.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Because there was an article, I think it was on Click or something like that.
There's a great film, I need to find the name of it. There's a great film on iTunes that's about proximity flyers who wanted to do some of the best proximity flying that they could come up with visually. So there was a guy who was on the camera and then a guy who did the thing. And the first jump that they do is a guy jumped off a hill and flew underneath the arms of Christ the Redeemer. In Rio.
And
the guy that's filmed it just high up to the left, just slightly higher than him, looking down on Christ with him. You can see him go straight under the arm and between the arm and the viewing gallery of the people over the top. And there is, and there's another one where he goes down through like an alpine thing, and he goes through a bridge over a V shape in the rocks. And there's a steel cable on the other side that he has to miss, and you can't see it till he's nearly on it. It's, but halfway through the film, there's another reason to watch. There you go. I don't want to spoil it for you, but it's a good film. I need to find the name of that. I'll post that when I find it. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Harkness?
best place is on Twitter at Rich Harkness. I've got my YouTube channel HumanV2 and the website human-v2.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much for turning out, mate. And as you say, you are a super sub this evening.
No problem.
Jeffrey, where are you?
I'm hanging out over at macobserver.com, and I am on Twitter. I'm Jay Gamet. Same thing on Instagram. I'm on a boatload of podcasts.
Along with
and freshbrewtales.com, where I write about stupid things people do in coffee shops.
Excellent, mate. Muller, where are you, sir?
Muller Biker on Twitter, and I'm in a sort of a kayak full of podcasts, just this one, really.
What's that?
Billy No Mates.
Jesus Christ. Do you ski, Muller?
I'm the only.
He's upset. He keeps dropping hints, and I won't let him on the Mac show. One appellator's enough. But although there are more of us now. If, I tell you what, if Patrice had been on this week, they'd have got some stick, wouldn't they, for his watch?
Oh, is he bricked it, isn't he?
Righty, where are you, mate?
Pulling on Twitter when I am there. Hang around the Slack room, but mainly hang around the old British Tech Network. Ben Camps are doing a lot of work on the old reviews, and thank you to everyone else who sent the reviews. It's getting really
brilliant,
full in there. If you've got a review, send it to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. You will forward it on, and we'll give you the credit you deserve.
Excellent, mate. Yeah, and as of Tuesday on O2, if Three Network haven't pulled their fingers out,
I say so.
Yeah. Manager Ewan Rankin, you get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We won't be here next week. There will be no shows next week at all. What we will have is the Christmas show on the 20th, Tuesday the 20th, for the classic Christmas quiz. All the things that have gone on in the year up for grabs. And I'm not going to let Muller write it, because he's going to write Janet and John Book 4 from the questions he was asking earlier on. And there'll be too many shit jokes in it. See you in 2 weeks. Tuesday, it's Tuesday, don't forget, Tuesday for the live show, Tuesday the 20th. See you next time. Thanks for listening.